Translation, thus by pure consciousness, this 47 is tat dhyano riktaya bhaktya vishuddha dishana pare kasmin narayana pare ekantam attayogatim. Thus by pure consciousness, due to constant devotional remembrance, they attain the spiritual sky, which is ruled over by the Supreme Narayana, Lord Krishna. This is attained only by those who meditate upon the one Supreme Lord without deviation. This abode of the Lord Sri Krishna, known as Golok Vrindavan, cannot be attained by persons who are absorbed in the material conception of life. But the Pandavas, being completely washed of all material contamination, attain that abode in their very same bodies. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, a person freed from the three modes of material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, and situated in transcendence, can reach the highest perfection of life without change of body. Srila Sanatana Goswami, in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, says that a person, whatever he may be, can attain the perfection of a twice-born Brahmana by undergoing his spiritual disciplinary actions under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Exactly as a chemist can turn gun metal into gold by chemical manipulation. It is therefore the actual guidance that matters in the process of becoming a Brahmana, even without change of body, or in going back to Godhead without change of a body. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks that the word he used in this connection positively affirms this truth, and there is no doubt about this factual position. The Bhagavad Gita 14.26 also confirms this statement of Srila Jiva Goswami when the Lord says that anyone who executes devotional service systematically without deviation can attain the perfection of Brahman by surpassing the contamination of the three modes of material nature. And when the Brahman perfection is still more advanced by the self-same execution of devotional service, there is no doubt that at all, that one can attain the supreme spiritual planet, Golok Vrindavan, without change of body, as we have already discussed, in connection with the Lord's returning to his abode without a change of body. In the purple. Om Agyanantaram Dushayam Slagayam Chakshuram Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namam Vishnudaya Krishnam Shnaya Vindraya Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Kachani Devi Shishu Shambhavati Kastasitani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shri Rasa Gaur Bhakti Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Translation again, thus by pure consciousness, due to constant devotional remembrance, they attain the spiritual sky which is ruled over by the Supreme Narayana, Lord Krishna. This is attained only by those who meditate on the Supreme Lord without deviation. This abode of the Lord Sri Krishna, known as Golok Vrindavan, cannot be attained by persons who are absorbed in the material conception of life. Or the Pandavas, being completely washed of all material contamination, attain that abode in their very same bodies. Sri Goswami is speaking. This chapter is entitled The Pandavas Retire Timely. So he's telling how the Pandavas gave up any, of course the Pandavas are all pure devotees, eternal associates, and this is it, they're eternal associates of the Lord. And how they wound up their pastimes with the Lord, and how they attained the supreme destination without change of bodies. We remember also in the Krishna book, Krishna took Arjuna to the spiritual world in the same body. So it's possible by the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Generally, matter and spirit are opposed to each other. But as far as the Lord is concerned, he doesn't make such distinction because they're both different aspects of his one energy. And he has multifarious energies, but ideally it's one energy, but it acts in so many different ways. So if the Lord wants spirit to act as matter, then it acts as matter, and if he wants it to act as spirit, then it acts as spirit, or matter to act as spirit. It says the material world matter means forgetfulness of Krishna. Of course, it is a different energy. We heard yesterday. It's earth, water, fire, mind, intelligence, and the identity. Krishna says, eight separated energies. But if one utilizes those energies in the service of the Lord, then they once again attain to their original state, which is everything ultimately is coming from Krishna. And so ultimately everything is spiritual in origin. It's just spirit acting in a different way. Then we call it matter or material. But it's the same. It's the same energy. We also heard yesterday, like the expert electrician, he can transform the electricity into heat, producing heat or producing cold. So it's one energy, it's doing the same thing. In the oven it's making very hot, and in the fridge it's making very cold. That same energy is transformed into heat or cold. Same thing there. So for Krishna there's no difference. So it's not unusual that if Krishna wants to take somebody back to Godhead in their self-same body. Not that your body will continue as it is when you go back. There will be no more old age and no more smells and things like that. You get Dhruva also. Dhruva Raj, he also went back in his self-same body. When Dhruva Raj attained perfection, then an airplane from Vaikuntha came. And Dhruva circumambulated that airplane, and Death personified was there and bowed down before Dhruva, because Dhruva had conquered even Death personified, which is very rare. And Dhruva stepped on him, used him as a step to step onto the airplane. And he went back, he stepped in the airplane and went back to Vaikuntha in his same body. So Sri Prabhupada is writing here that a person has to be free from the modes of nature to be able to reach that platform. And they're given the examples of how we can change our bodies in this life, not bodies so much as the evolution of life is calculated in terms of forms. Generally for the ABC, then we see that the life evolves, as Darwin has rightly pointed out, through the aquatic plants. This is borrowing from the Vedic version. Insects, reptiles, know, like mammal animals and birds and human beings. So that is the situation. So we can evaluate how the consciousness of the living entity by the particular type of body they have developed. So from the very lowest, like plant life and aquatic, where it's really steeped in ignorance, to the animals, which are also ignorant, but it's not quite as severe as the plants. And the human beings, which some of those are also in ignorance, but they're in the human, they can actually evolve when that ignorance clears, they evolve gradually into passion, and then if they follow some regulation according to the authority, proper authority, then they gradually evolve to the mode of goodness. So that is religion, religious system. But when one attains a human form of life, which is very rare, then one should utilize that opportunity of making a permanent solution to this samsara. One can actually break this cycle. Otherwise, from the human species, one can elevate oneself further in the material universe, or one can degrade oneself and go back again into the lower species. That opportunity is only there for in the human. So this is a middle point. And this is your karma stand. This is where you actually produce karma. And then you'll use good karma up and you'll use good karma down. And gradually work back again if you go down. So that's how we generally judge. But Lord Darwin was judging just on the taking the body as all in all. But actually it's a soul, it's a consciousness that is evolving, right? So evolution is the evolution of consciousness. And that is a living entity's actual freedom. Your only freedom is that you can make a conscious choice. You can direct your consciousness. That's your freedom. And where you direct it, that depends on your karmas. Depends which body you've got. Krishna says that a person accepts a particular body and with senses grouped around the minds, and you act just according to that body. So Baba said that the dog acts like a dog, he doesn't act like anything else. Even if you put the dog on the throne, or the shimshan, if you throw a bone, he'll jump off and get it. He's a dog, so he's going to act like a dog. And he can't change that. And because it's a low form, because the consciousness is not evolved, that means he's misused his independence, he's misused his freedom, and chose to direct his consciousness on just simply trying to facilitate the demands of the senses, and by doing that, performing degrading activities, and then one has to take these subhuman forms of life, because one has a subhuman consciousness. Human life is meant for tapasya. Human life is meant for inquiring about the absolute truth. Now you have a human form of life. Now is the time to inquire about the absolute truth. This is how the Vedas begin. So the activity of the soul, or the activity of the mind, which is expressing the desires of the soul, the thinking, feeling and willing. It's the soul is thinking and feeling and willing, but we're doing it, it's manifest through this mind, material mind. So our desires are manifest in this. The body is a manifestation of our desire, but it's actually the soul. Desire is coming from the soul. Desire is coming from the living entity. So because of that desire, then we can understand what kind of desires that a living entity had, whether by the particular type of body that we had, what they had. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, the learned brahmana, the sage, he sees a brahmana, a learned gentle brahmana, and a cow, a dog and a dog eater, elephant. Like, he sees them all equal, because he's actually seeing the living entity within those different forms. But he's seeing the forms, he's seeing the difference of forms, but he's seeing how the dog eaters, they're misusing their independence, and the brahmana is utilizing his independence, freedom properly. Therefore he's got the body of a brahmana. Brahmana means mode of goodness. Because animal is his mode of ignorance. And also dog eater's mode of ignorance. So the religious system is designed to bring, to raise one out of passion and ignorance into goodness. It's much less gross covering, the mode of goodness. And if one continues in the mode of goodness, the products are happiness, a sense of well-being, and knowledge, and enlightenment eventually. But pure knowledge, true knowledge, not knowledge of how to sleep, eat, mate and defend, because that's available in everywhere, but that will also be there, but in a much more refined way. If you eat, sleep and mate and defend in a religious way, it's actually a better state of existence, a finer state of existence, a finer happiness. So you see that the religious people generally, in general, they're more peaceful than other irreligious people. But that means there's a restriction. Religion means restriction. Because the whole program, human life is meant for tapasya. It's not meant for just doing whatever you want. That's what you've been doing in all the other species. Of course, you know, just trying to satisfy the demands of the senses. But human life is meant to control the senses and direct the senses. So this is it. This is your freedom. Where are you going to direct the senses? Where are you going to direct the consciousness to? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? So depending on the modes that you're afflicted by, then you'll have those types of goals. The goal is happiness for everyone. For those in the mode of ignorance, their happiness will be intoxication, sleep, like this. When they don't have to do anything, they're happy. Then passion, they want to create, they want to be somebody, they want to achieve something. Go out and show people what they can do, etc. The mode of goodness will be much simple, the life will be less complicated, and it will be done to religious instructions generally. Generally. Because even if you find people are peaceful, like peaceful tribes, etc., they still have very gross habits sometimes, even though they're maybe peaceful, agrarian, tribals. But they'll eat bugs and snakes and other strange habits, some unrefined things, or otherwise philosophically, or they'll worship the mountains or the sun supreme, something like that. So they're still bound. And that, according to their nature. But Sanatana Goswami is saying that whatever particular form you have, you can attain perfection, or you can attain the perfection of a Brahmana. In other words, you can also come to the mode of goodness. It doesn't depend on your particular material circumstance. If you don't have any information on how to act or the proper goals, in other words, if you don't take any scriptural injunctions, then it's a question of the cycle, the samsara, the cycle of birth and death, that you'll be pious and it'll take you many births, right, to come from ignorance to goodness, or from a sudra or less to a vaishya, to a kshatriya, and then a brahmana. It'll take many births to achieve that. But here it is declaring that it's not necessary to wait for all these births. And so people believe this. You see that we have trouble with the caste system. You know, they try, only the Brahmins can do this service, and no one can become a Brahmin unless you're born in this a Brahmin family, etc. So they still try to capitalize on the misconceptions that they have. But it's not a fact that we've seen that regardless of the body, one can attain the highest perfection of life, as there are many examples. Both modern and past, that we have seen that people who come from Malecha tribes have actually given up those ways of life and accepted the ways of life which are equivalent to the Brahminical way of life. Haridas Thakur was given the name, most exalted, he was given the name Namacharya, but he was born in the family of the Yavanas, who didn't follow Vedic principles. So it doesn't depend on the material circumstance. Even non-humans. That's a special case. That's mercy. Like the dog that Lord Chaitanya liberated. The dog that followed the devotees when they were walking to Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya and attend the Rath Yatra. And Lord Shivananda Shane, he befriended that dog and he became very compassionate. And when the dog was disappeared, he actually went back and looked for it. And he used to pay for the dog ticket on the boat to go across. And then he lost the dog. He was a little unhappy because, for some reason. But when they caught up with Lord Chaitanya, they found he was feeding the dog coconut inside the dam in Malai, and telling the dog to chant Hare Krishna, and the dog was chanting Hare Krishna. And he went back to Godhead. So it doesn't depend on that. But they're extraordinary cases. It's extraordinary mercy of the Lord. But by the mercy of the devotees of the Lord, one can also have this a similar opportunity that in the very same life, one can be elevated from the status of sudra to brahmana, or the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, without a change of body. It's the same body. It's the same person, but it's just the consciousness has changed. Now you're directing your consciousness. So it's just a question of training. So whether you go back in this body or another body, what is the difference? The idea is to go back. It's a big topic for discussion, you know, like, why should you go back in your own body? But that's not, the important thing is to go back, and that depends on consciousness. So most people haven't got the slightest idea what's going on in this life. It's completely no direct spiritual direction, completely no idea of what's going on. who they are, what is the goal of life, what is this material nature, how it's working, what is the spiritual world. They have zero idea, zero. I mean, 99.9% of the world's population probably like that. Completely dark, just like we were, most of us, a few years ago. Right? No idea what was happening. So that's extraordinary mercy, that the devotees have reached out and touched us and actually changed our lives. But the idea is to go back to Godhead. That means to become situated on the spiritual platform, which means, of course, above the mode, among the mode of goodness. So we have the opportunity to engage directly in the devotional service of the Lord without the prerequisite of going through this varnashram or the samskara to become purified before you can be eligible to actually engage in spiritual activities. That is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So the human body is the best medium. Practically speaking, it's the only medium you can do it. And this is the extra special mercy involved. So just as you can pass in this one life in this same body and achieve the mode of goodness, so you can come from. So in other words, you've surpassed in one life, you've surpassed many, many births. You've surpassed of acting as a perfect suja for many births. You've surpassed the acting as a vaishya for many births and as a kachya for many births. You've surpassed all those. You've done all that already. In other words, and it saved you millions and hundreds of births by taking to the direct process of devotional service under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. So, if you can change in this, what it means is the consciousness is actually changing. Whether the body, spirit, or matter, it doesn't really matter. As long as you're serving the Lord, Śrīla Sanātana Gosvāmī also, he's praying to Lord Chaitanya that people are calling me learned, they're calling me Pandit. He said, as far as I'm concerned, that is, I don't even know who I am. But anyway, whatever I am, whether I'm this mind, whether I'm this body, whether I'm the soul, I don't know. I've heard, but I don't know who I am. Whatever I am, I'm offering to you. So that's perfect consciousness. Whatever you are, whatever I am, whatever I think I am, I'll offer that to Krishna. I'm offering that to Krishna. So there's no need. One doesn't have to become perfectly self-realized to actually serve the Lord by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He's accepted because he's come specifically to engage deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga who don't have the possibility to become purified through the normal course of events. I.e. Varnashram Dharma. So he's given devotional service freely, without discrimination. Anyone can accept. So what we don't see, so the body doesn't change, but it's the consciousness that actually changes. It's just like the consciousness of in material consciousness or in spiritual consciousness. The location doesn't change, right? We see it in terms of, you know, in this Golok, there's Mathura, there's Dwarka, there's Ayodhya, there's a spiritual sky, there's a Viraja River, there's Brahmaloka, like that. We have to see in terms of time and space to be able to assimilate things. But in the spiritual world, this doesn't exist. There's no, that concept of time and space is not the same there. So it's not that you have to, it's more just like the body, through in one lifetime you evolve through millions of bodies, hundreds of bodies, evolved through bodies in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance and the mode of goodness also. That's actually what happens. Imperceptibly, it's the same thing, the result is the same. It's like the spiritual world, if everything is spiritual, right, the spiritual world, then there's a cloud appears in the spiritual world. You've seen the picture on the Bhagavatam. So like, then the conditioned souls are within that cloud. So it's cloudy, you can't see properly, you see everything is distorted, it's reflected. But you take that as real. But you simply have to, again, understand what's going on. You're in a cloud and the real sunshine and the real sky exists beyond this. Then automatically you're there. Then the cloud disappears when you understand what's going on. So that's what it is. That's how it is with the consciousness. If one is absorbed in matter, then that's where you're in the material world. But as soon as you're absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then you're not in the material world anymore. It appears you're in the material world, but it's not acting material anymore. You can say you're in the material world, but it's acting in the spirit. So in other words, it's not the material world. You're utilizing the material body, but you're utilizing it for Krishna. So therefore, the matter has taken on its original constitution, because it's coming from the spirit. So anything you use in the service of the Lord takes on that spiritual aspect. Huh? It's like iron in the fire, is a common example, very good example. If you put the iron in the fire, it becomes red hot, and it behaves just like fire. Although it's iron, it has the qualities of fire. So although we have this so-called material body, it's not acting as a material body, it's acting as a spiritual body, because we use it in the service. So Krishna's accepting the service. Huh? Directly or through his devotee, Krishna's actually accepting our thinking, feeling and willing, because that's all the living entity can do. We don't have any power to move matter. The soul can't move any, can't move one atom. That's all done by the demigods. But we can desire thinking, feeling and willing. You have to be willing for something to happen, that endeavor, according to your karma, then it all becomes into play. The situation is presented before you by the devatas, under the instructions of Krishna, who is in their heart also. This much you deserve, this is your karma. You want something, you have an idea, you think about it, that's great, let's go for it. With the mind and intelligence, you figure that out. So then you endeavor. That endeavor, you can't move matter, you can't move the body. That is allowed to go on. And it's so the timing is so perfect that we think we're actually doing it, but actually we're not doing it. But we're desiring to achieve a particular result. So the body moves in such a way, and material nature moves in such a way, as to produce that result or not produce that result according to our destiny, according to our karma. And then we get exactly what we deserve, not more, not less. So now when we think, feel, and will for Krishna, then it's a whole different, you're in a different world. You're in the spiritual world. So the location is not a consideration. Time and place is not a consideration anymore when one becomes a Krishna conscious. It's really not. So, and then you see that the Premanjana Chuchulita Bhakti Vilochanena, it says here, in other words, that you can't, unless one's eyes are anointed with love of God, then you can't see the Lord, you can't enter into those pastimes. But we hear, and we have faith that it's a reality that the devotees, even here, the pure devotees, they actually perceive Krishna in this material world. They actually perceive the pastimes in this material world. Within their heart, and sometimes they see with their eyes. They pastimes sometimes not, and sometimes they actually see. Prabhupada said, I see Krishna, face to face. one devotee he went to, he went in Prabhupada's room and Prabhupada was crying. So he knew, he was quite new that time. So he said, "So Prabhupada, why are you crying?" No, his Prabhupada says, "You know why I'm crying?" No, he said he went out and said, "Oh, Prabhupada's disturbed." He told the servants, "Prabhupada's really disturbed, he's crying." So then he went back in and, you know, did something, had to do something. Prabhupada said, "You know why I'm crying?" He said, "No." He said, I'm looking out the window, he said, I see Krishna there. In the garden I can see Krishna. So whether the pastime is manifest in your heart or directly, you're perceiving that. You're in the spiritual world. You didn't have to move from one place to another. There's no distance there. So the spiritual, so for some people who are seeing the pastimes going on here, then it must be going on here. It's a reality. So they're both going on simultaneously, that the material world is superimposed over the spiritual reality. But that's just like a dream. Or when that goes, it's like a cloud passes over. And some people get caught up with the cloud, you know, think the cloud is something wonderful, and get lost in that cloud. But when the cloud goes, you see what the original place is like. So that's what, you know, it's a material, it's a spiritual atmosphere, and then this cloud comes over, and we're caught in the cloud, and we take this as all in all, and we're trying to adjust the cloud so we can be happy, so we won't have any problems. But when one realizes that's just, you know, it's just a cloud, why waste your time in this, trying to adjust this situation? The perfect situation is outside. So then you don't bother with the cloud anymore, you don't bother with the material world anymore. You just bother with serving Krishna. Eating, sleeping, making, defending, going on. But that's in connection with Krishna. You do it according to how Krishna wants us to do it. And then it becomes a spiritual world. So it's here. It's already here. It must be here. If it's here for one person, it's here for everyone. So it's not like you even have to get on a bike, on the airplane, and go back. Even in your meditation, it is said, some descriptions, that they'll meditate when one reaches perfection in their meditation, then they'll see Krishna. They'll actually, their meditation will be, say, Goloka Vrindavan, then Krishna will come in with his friends, and then Krishna will see you from a long distance. Before anyone else, Krishna will see you. And he may be coming, say he's coming back with his boys and the cows. He'll see you from a long distance. And he'll stop. And he'll look at you and he'll start crying. And he'll come running and embrace you. And where have you been? Where have you been? I didn't see you for a while. And then he'll put you in charge. You know, and then he'll call one of his other devotees, okay, you look after this. Engage him in something like that. So sometimes they're going into this meditation and then they're coming back, but sometimes they don't come back. And one time they don't come back anymore. They actually go into that pastime and they don't come back to this body. In other words, they die, but they don't even know. They don't even know they left their body, because there's no... They're just going to walk straight into the pastime. So there's no space. It's just a question of consciousness. Now the consciousness is situated in the body, but there's no... For consciousness, though, that Prabhupada said, the mind, you know, you can think of the moon. In one moment, less than a moment, you're thinking of the moon, millions of miles away. But since you can't reach the spiritual world by thousands of years going by a spaceship, you can't mechanically go there. But in one moment, you can go, if that's revealed to you. And that is revealed by devotion. That is the actual... way to go in. So it's consciousness. So that consciousness, it doesn't pertain to your particular body. If Pandavas, we're given examples here, they're first class pure devotees, Nitya Siddhas. They went back in their very same body. But we hear other stories of people who weren't pure devotees. They were doing all kinds of nonsense. And then they come into contact with the devotee and immediately change. Immediately, next life they go back to Godhead. So they've been saved millions of births, or even in this life. So it's not a question of a distance. It's a question of consciousness. So these are some of the points in the shloka. Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Tayokam ki jai. You coming? Yes. Distributing books, Krishna conscious books. And Srila Prabhupada mentions the Krishna actually inspires the recipient, the super soul, you take this book. He actually inspires within the. Of course, he's doing everything. Krishna, everything is coming. For me, can remembrance, forgetfulness, and intelligence. So, in effect, everything is coming from the super soul for us. So she, but Mataji is saying that this person has no interest in spiritual life or anything. What is it that, why the super soul prompts that one and not another?
How is it that person can actually perceive, can understand the promptings of the super soul?
Which person?
The person who's giving the donation.
No, he can't.
He can't.
No, he can't understand.
Exactly.
Huh?
The prompting of karma.
No, he can't understand. He can't understand the super soul, he has no idea. Just like we can. We think, oh, is it? We just suddenly get inspiration to do something. Oh. You know, someone comes up and asks for something. They go. And sometimes you just get.
Sometimes
you
see.
Huh?
Sometimes you see it on the street, they don't know what they're giving, but I don't know why.
Yeah, right. They just put their hand in their pocket, they bring the money and they give it, and they But sometimes you just, you know, someone told me they gave it to some beggar coming, and they did it in such a way that he just spontaneously put his hand and gave money. He said may have had some city or something like that, but obviously it's ultimately it's coming from the super soul. But the reason that happens is the reason, although that person is not inclined, it may not be. Because the super soul is indifferent. He's a witness. It's not like the devotees. Then Krishna actually personally takes charge, and he actually interferes with the karma. But the super soul doesn't do that. That's not his job. He's just a witness. So what happens is that the devotee is acting on behalf of the spiritual master. So. Krishna's thinking that I'm trying to serve my devotee, but I can't get chance because my devotees are serving me 24 hours a day. He doesn't get chance. Krishna actually gets more pleasure in serving his devotees than he does in his devotees serving him. We see that in Krishna's life, that all he does is act for the pleasure of his devotees. It may appear sometimes in Vrindavan he's just going out for his own sanskrit, but actually he wants to give pleasure to his devotees. But the devotees are always, they have the same mentality as Krishna. They just want to give pleasure to Krishna, so this competition goes on. So Krishna is looking for a way to serve his pure devotees. But it's very difficult. But when he sees you serving the pure devotee, he's doing something I can't do. He's serving my devotee. So then to give you that encouragement, then he'll make that person, he's serving my devotee, give him money, just give him. So that's how it works. That person has no inclination, and but of course that person benefits because he's given donation to Krishna. So there's a little difference there with the super soul and when a person is a devotee. He acts in the propensity of Krishna more than the super soul. As far as I understand. Yes.
Yeah, I was reading a book yesterday that this temple that initially there was a new scheme to steal some of the ornaments. And when the devotee suggested for a permanent solution that we install for the simple labor here.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Here in this Mayapur temple, yesterday I brought up a small book where one of the senior leaders' pastimes were listed. In that book, it mentions that in 1984 some thieves came in to steal the ornaments for deities. So there was some problem, so then one of the devotees suggested that we should install the
He's enjoying with the shakyas. That's Ras is going on. So we don't want to disturb that. So in the form of Prabhupada didn't give us that. He didn't actually install any Nrisingadev deities, as far as I understand. But he did give us a Nrisinga pranams to chant after arati every time. The Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Bhaktinoda, they installed Nrisingadev, Lakshmi Nrisingadev in the Jog Pit. So we pray for protection, but specifically we pray to is protection for the Bhakti Lata Beach. That's the protection that we want, the protection of the devotional creeper that we can attain to pure devotional service. But also for the others. Anyway, it works. They never came back. The dacoits never came back since the Nrisingadev came. Every day I get mail. Every day we have people request to do puja for the Nrisingadev because they're having problems. You go to the doctor when you're sick. Right? When you're sick, you go to the doctor. Why don't you just depend on Krishna? So we pray to Krishna. To, you can pray to help. But the thing that's specifically for that. Specifically. It comes to remove the anathas. Big anathas like Hiranyakashipu. So that was his function, that was his pastime. He came to protect the devotee, so therefore we worship him for protection. But specifically for protection of the devotional servant, because you know the body's not going to last. And one disease, another one will come again later anyway. That's temporary. The main thing is your devotional creeper that will protect that. And he's very popular, even apart from that. He's just a favorite. Very popular. Some people don't ask for anything, but he's still popular. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to read, have Gadadhar read from Bhagavatam, mainly two sections, the Dhruva and Prahlad. So if Nrisinga didn't appear, Prabhupada, then all those wonderful stories and philosophy wouldn't be available for us. Anyway, it's bona fide. He's assisting us to go to Govardhan Vrindavan, so what's wrong with that? Anything that's helpful to you. Okay. From Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Nanda, Govardhan Vrindavan.